Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with Brent Sanford, the mayor of Watford City.
As well.
How about from the civic side of things, roads, city halls, maybe a hospital, something like that, those essential community things. Are you guys, I believe you guys just had a new high school, right?
Yeah, the new high school opened in February, and that was a godsend. The kids were really crammed into our two schools that we had prior to this that were renovated last in the last boom when I was in school. And so the elementary school had grades 4 through 5 were in modulars. The 6th graders were up in the high school, and the juniors and seniors didn't have lockers. I mean, we were way over capacity in pushing kids through these two schools with modulars in all the parking lot areas. And besides that, we had the teacher housing out on the playground with, called it the Teacher Man Camp, lovingly. But the FEMA trailers on the playground are where the teachers were living. And so, I mean, we've come a long ways since even February. We built 20 more housing units at Wolf Run Village, which will be intended for teacher housing across the street from the elementary school. Moved the modulars out because now those kids have been moved up a level. So we have K through 3 in our existing elementary school. Grades 4 through 6 are in our previous high school that's now called our intermediate school. And then grades 7 through 12 are comfortably in the new high school. That has a capacity for 800 kids. And so that will eventually be just 9 through 12. And the junior high kids will then move back to what's called the intermediate school. So the school district already has plans, and have already hired the construction manager for the next elementary school project. So you can have kids K through 6 or K through 5 at least within actual elementary schools. And so the school district is in good shape. It's a comforting place for families to move into and send their kids, and they've done a good job throughout the boom. The courthouse building and City Hall were expanded a few years back, and we're brimming with extra law enforcement officers, so we have a law enforcement center that's currently about half completed that the county is building, and that's on the south side of town, and we're looking at finishing that in the first part of 2017. So the police department and the sheriff's department will be in that building, along with Highway Patrol, BCI, other cooperating agencies. So we're looking forward to that. We'll have the right number of jail cells for the community. When your community grows by 10 times, you need to increase some things like that too, unfortunately. And so instead of hauling short-term prisoners around the state to many different facilities, we'll have the beds right here in Watford City. So that's two of the public buildings. Third one to speak about is the Rough Rider Center. That is, I would say, our own little version of Bismarck Civic Center. I mean, you've got basically all the different activity groups for the community were outsized in a hurry when your population grows 10 times. And so the hockey club, the skating club, the gymnastics club, we're all looking at fundraising for their own types of facilities, let alone the fact that the high school was not able to put in the Class A sport-type facilities with the funding they had available. And so this building... it also brings in convention space. We really didn't have convention space on a community standpoint before. And so this building, the Rough Rider Center, has convention space. It has sheet of ice for skating and for hockey practice. It has a hockey rink. It has a field house for park board activities, basketball, a multi-use facility. And then it has a 3,000-seat auditorium for the basketball games, similar to the Well at Williston State, where you could have regional tournaments, district tournaments, etc. And the park district is operating this facility, so they insisted on a small water component. So there is a lap pool and a small water park with a water slide area that's included. So this is we feel like everyone in the community will be using this facility in some shape or form. Very excited for that completion. We're at over 80% complete. We're looking at a September opening for that building. And the fourth building is a hospital. The hospital has been undersized for 20 years, since the mid-90s. And it was built in 1950 or thereabouts, and it's very outdated, very undersized. That project is coming along, where we've got the permanent financing in place, looking at construction financing now. We have the bids in place, and we're ready to break ground. The infrastructure has been begun, ready to break ground soon, within the next month or two, and that'll be an exciting day for Watford. So then we'll have these community facilities upsized for the type of population base that's here and need the support in the future.
How are you guys doing with the technical side of things. Are you guys seeing any technology businesses coming your way, or any sort of, fiber optic upgrades or anything?
We're in pretty good shape that way. RTC came in and brought in brought fiber into the community, and we had stayed ahead of the game on that. On that regard, through the years, with between the county and Job Development Authority and First International Bank, etc., some of our larger employers. I mean, we'd stayed up, in, you know, pretty good shape in that regard before, so it wasn't a huge reach. And there's always improvement necessary, but RTC has been a good partner. As far as technology companies, actually, no, we've had such a short lull in the time period where you could actually come in and find office space or find employees or housing that we haven't seen much besides growth in oil field services companies, really, except for some retail growth where you had to fill in with restaurants and hotels. And then now we've actually got a specialty sandwich shop where you can get a gyro in Watford City. I'm just kind of amazed that you can get a gyro in Watford City.
To listen to the full-length interview with Brent Sanford, the mayor of Watford City, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
My name is Otis, and I am the host of the Kids in Capitalism KidCast. Let me tell you about one of our sponsors. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Call Eric Hatch or anyone on the Hatch Realty team with any real estate question. They want to be a resource and connection for you. That's Hatch Realty, 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Hatch Realty, tell them Otis sent you.
The Real American Jam, a concert benefiting the fallen soldiers of North Dakota, July 15th, 16th, and 17th, Buffalo Gap Guest Ranch west of Medora. Joe Diffie, Corb Lund, Ned Ledoux, Bart Crow, and more will be performing. Tickets available now at realamericanjam.com. Camping's available. Call to reserve a spot, 701-623-4200. The Real American Jam for the fallen soldiers of North Dakota, July 15th through the 17th, Buffalo Gap Guest Ranch. realamericanjam.com and buffalogapguestranch.com has complete details.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. And now a time for another barbecue tip from the 4th Annual Bakken Barbecue.
Your name and who you're cooking for?
Shane Weber, cooking for Pioneer Wireline.
Last name Weber, so do you get those jokes often when you're cooking?
Not yet.
People ask if you got a Weber grill, yada yada. Okay, so well, what is it that you cook today?
We cooked St. Louis style ribs.
Explain how the process works for, say, like the St. Louis style versus a regular style.
I think the baby back is closer to the loin. St. Louis style's farther down the rib. We trimmed them up. We got them dry rubbed. Got them on the smoker. We're cooking ours with apple wood. Nothing fancy, a simple dry rub, and that's what we're going for today.
Do you do a marinade, or is it just a dry rub? You put it on. How long do you cook them for, and a temperature? Without getting into too much of the secrets.
Dry rub is all we did. We did not marinate or inject or anything like that. We gave them about 2 hours of smoke, and then we wrapped them up. And we did not put any sauce on or anything. We just gave them a dry rub and let the pork flavor come through, hopefully. So,
how long have you been cooking?
I started barbecuing probably in the last 10 years. So, about 10 years ago.
So, without, again, you don't have to reveal any of your secrets, but let's say somebody's starting out and, a few tips or a few tricks that maybe you could give an aspiring barbecue pit master of any age.
would say figure out your fire first. That's going to be the most frustrating thing, is having charcoal and it doesn't start for you. Once you get it figured out, you get the fire going, it's all downhill from there.
How did you get to be the cooker for Pioneer?
They volunteered me a couple weeks ago.
I've been barbecuing
for my family for quite a while, and I like doing it. So everybody knows I like doing it, so they just volunteered me, and I said, yeah, you bet.
Do you have any recipes that, you know, that is your favorite when it comes to barbecuing?
Yes. We're doing ribs here, but I like brisket. I like putting salt and pepper on it.
That's it?
That's it.
Hey, man, you sound like a traditional guy.
Simple flavors work for me.
Hey, thanks.
Yep, thank you.
Hey, folks, I'm multimedia journalist Jason Spies and the host of Building the Bakken Radio and Coffee and Capitalism. Traveling across the Rocky Mountain region and the upper Midwest has introduced me to many new people, landed me in exciting places, and created lifelong connections. And there's one place I want to tell you about today, and that's the Lodge at Deadwood. It is, without a doubt, my favorite place to stay in the Black Hills. In fact, not only is it my favorite, it's pretty much everybody else's. They're a three-time recipient of the best hotel, best casino, and best overall restaurant in the Black Hills. So if you're planning a conference, maybe a weekend getaway, a wedding, whatever it might be, I truly invite you to check out the Lodge at Deadwood and find out why they're consistently voted the best hotel, the best casino, and the best restaurant. Now listen, if I didn't believe that the Lodge at Deadwood was the best place to stay in the Black Hills, I wouldn't be doing this testimonial across our media network, which spans 5 states and 30 plus radio stations. And I feel very confident when I say the Lodge at Deadwood will exceed all your expectations. Check them out online today at deadwoodlodge.com. That's deadwoodlodge.com.